direct act in six literal 24-hour days and not by any process of evolution. In dealing with this tonight, I want to ask three questions and hopefully answer them correctly. Question number one, does the Bible teach fiat creationism, that is, that God spoke and the world came into existence? Or can there be other alternatives as to our origin? Is there some way of reconciling scientific thought with biblical dogma? Second question, are the days of creation to be understood literally as 24-hour days? And then finally, does how one understands creation really matter? And by asking that question, I ask a second question. How does this doctrine affect other doctrines? Isn't it a matter of, science and faith coming into contradiction, it really makes no difference whatsoever? Or is there a real importance to how you understand this? To begin with, I want to look at some possible alternative theories to what the Bible says about creationism. There is the gap theory, theistic evolution, intelligent design, and the day-age creationism. Take a look at these quickly. The gap theory starts with Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But what it does is it puts a gap between those verses. A gap of an indeterminate period of time, in fact, a long, long period of time. Those who came up with the gap theory, and there were some very notable Bible teachers that did that. C.I. Schofield was one who held to the gap theory. Did so because in the day and age in which they were living, scientific thought declarations seemed rather conclusive that evolution took place. And these were men who held to the authority of the Scripture and the truthfulness of Scripture, and they said, somehow we have to reconcile the two. Well, I don't believe you have to reconcile the two, but to be fair to them, they were trying to keep the integrity of what the Bible taught and reconcile it to what seemingly was scientific truth. So they put a period of time in here, a gap. And in that time, what they said was that Lucifer rebelled. If you go to Isaiah chapter 14 or Ezekiel chapter 28, you find the rebellion of Lucifer. And consequently, when Lucifer rebelled, he was cast out of heaven, sent down to the earth, and with that there became a judgment upon the earth. And consequently then, when that took place, rather than the earth was without form, they say the word was should be translated became. Lucifer's cast down. He creates havoc and the earth becomes without form and void. And darkness was over the face of the deep. And at this point in time, the Spirit of God begins moving upon the face of the earth, upon the waters and so forth, and recreating the world in six literal days. But you have a long period of time in there in which you can account for the age of the earth. Now, there's a significant problem with this. A number of problems with this. First of all, there's no reason for a gap of time to be in there. The word was a good translation. There's no reason to translate it became. When you go back to Ezekiel chapter 28, it says that Lucifer was in the Garden of Eden. Well, that becomes a problem. Because when he's in the Garden of Eden as Lucifer, he's not cast down. He's not rebelled yet. But the big thing about this is, and the big problem with this is, if supposedly Lucifer rebels and is cast down, death takes place. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us that by one man, sin entered into the world. And the consequence of sin entering into the world brings death. It was not until Adam sinned that death entered into the world, which would be after the creation. So the gap theory falls. Theistic evolution seeks to harmonize biblical revelation with scientific theory also. Scripture is seen as defining who is responsible for our origins. Science is responsible for describing the how of our origins. Those who are theistic evolutionists would say, well, God did it, but he did it through a process that science describes. The problem with that is this. Science has a number of creative periods in its evolutionary theory. In the Precambrian period, the earth is created, and some very low forms of life, such as worms, are created. As things begin to evolve and get a little bit more complex, you'll get some plant life, and even coal is formed in the Paleozoic period, and a couple of very simple land animals. In the Mesozoic period, higher forms of plant life are created or evolved, and reptiles come into being. And lastly, in the Cenozoic period, you have plants, you have some mammals and birds, and ultimately mankind as the evolutionary scale keeps going up. Well, let's compare that to what Scripture says. The earth was created on day one. Worms were created on, day five. Plants came into being on day three. Land animals, day six. Plants again, day three. Reptiles, day five and six. Plants, day three. Mammals and birds, days five and six. And mankind, day six. In other words, what Scripture says happened on one day does not line up with the ages that evolution says came about. They cannot be harmonized. They stand distinct from one another. Intelligent design, something that is kind of recent, argues that there is an irreducible complexity in nature. As you look around, you see we are just too complex to have happened by chance. Consequently, their evolution cannot explain how we came to being. Intelligent design does not delineate where the intelligence came from that brought creation into existence, though. It says there can be a God, but maybe it's not God. But some intelligence somewhere guided the process of how we came into being. Well, that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says, in the beginning, God. So you cannot harmonize intelligent design with what Scripture says. The last one, the day-age theory, we'll look at it into the literal 24-hour day, so I'll save that for then. What does Scripture say about where we came from? Well, let's start at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew word that's translated created is the word bara. It literally means to bring into existence out of nothing. You will hear it in its Latin terms most often, ex nihilo, out of nothing. God spoke, there was nothing, but when God spoke, there was something. And that's how the world came into existence. Interesting, in the end of the Ham on Nye debates, the question was asked, where did the elements come from that evolved? And Bill Nye said, we don't have the foggiest clue. At least he was honest. But they don't. Well, Scripture tells us God created, brought into existence out of nothing. Well, that's just one statement. That can be misconstrued, can it? Well, Genesis chapter 1, verse 21, and God created great whales and every living creature that moves, and the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind. God saw that was good. Here we see that God created great whales. They didn't evolve. God spoke, and there the whales were. A couple verses later, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God. Created he him. God spoke, and there was man. Now, he formed him out of the dust of the ground, but there was man. God spoke. There was no man before man. Does that make sense? It sounds redundant, but it's true, there was no man before there was man. Not some pre-evolutionary man. There was no man. Genesis chapter 2. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in that he rested from all his work which God created, and notice this, and now made. God not only brought the things into existence, but he fashioned them according to the way he wanted. And consequently, on the end of the seventh day, he was done doing what he was doing. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, it's kind of getting a little repetitious here, isn't it? Well, you say that's just Moses and that's just the first couple of chapters of Genesis. Well, let's move on. This is the book of the generations of Adam, in the day that God created man. In the likeness of God made he him. Now we're moving on. Genesis chapter 6. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Let's move on. Deuteronomy. We get out of Genesis. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth. Well, Deuteronomy is still the book of Moses, unless you're a liberal theologian. Then you have a different author, but they're not right there either. Let's try David in the Psalms. Psalm 148, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Well, that's just Hebrew poetry. He could be speaking poetically there. Well, let's try Isaiah. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Isaiah says, God created. Well, later on, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walketh there. Well, that's just one prophet. Well, let's try another one. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and created the wind, Amos says. Malachi, the last of the Old Testament books. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Literally, from Genesis, the first book of the Old Testament, to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, statement after statement after statement after statement says, God created. Brought into existence out of nothing, the elements that are, fashioned them the way he wanted them, made them the way they are, and that's how we got here. Oh, but that's Old Testament. Dumb Hebrews, they didn't know what they were talking about, did they? The New Testament said that, maybe you would have a little more force. Well, guess what? Let's go to the Lord Jesus himself. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created, unto this time neither shall be. Jesus said that. Apostle Paul said, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him. John says in Revelation 10, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and so forth. Okay, guess what? From Genesis to Revelation, first book of the Bible to the last book of the Bible, passage after passage after passage after passage says that God created us. You think God made a point? Oh, by the way, I didn't cover all the verses of Scripture that say that God created us. There are plenty more. Without question, the Bible says that God spoke, the elements came into existence. Sometimes when God spoke, not only did they come into existence, but they came into existence in the form in which God wanted them. Sometimes, like with man, God formed us out of the dust of the ground and made us that way. But God created us. Did he do it by a methodology of evolution? Were the days in Genesis chapter 1 24-hour days? Or could they be long periods of evolutionary activity? Give you a couple of reasons why they're 24-hour days. Number one, the normal use of the word yom, which is the Hebrew word for day. If I were to use a different word in a different context, you would understand different things. For example, suppose I use the word ship. What do you think of? A boat? The act of sending. It could be a noun or a verb. How about a rocket? It's a spaceship. It could mean a number of different things. But the first thing that probably most people said when I said ship was a boat. That's normally what it is. If it's a rocket, I probably would say spaceship, and to indicate sending something, shipping something, I would have to use it in a sentence that would give it a different meaning. When the word day is used, it can mean a number of different things. For example, the day of the Lord is a long period of time. But when you say a day, what do you normally think of? 24-hour thing. When God said, did this in a day, the normal understanding is, unless there is some reason other than what's there to think otherwise, it's a 24-hour day. Secondly, context of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And from there, we talk about time. And the context indicates to us that these are to be understood literally in days. In fact, the context of Genesis, as we go by, the word day is always used in the context of a 24-hour day. The numerical designator of the word day. It says, and this was the first day. And on the second day, God created this. And on the third day, what's Monday? Second day of the week. Doesn't mean a long extended period of time. When we say the second day of the week, we're talking about a 24-hour period. Whenever a numerical designator is used in Scripture with the word day, it always, always refers to a 24-hour time period. Never anything else. It's classified by the terms evening and morning. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Let me ask you a question. How would you understand evening and morning if a day consisted of a billion years? Yeah, it's worse than Alaska. It would make no sense whatsoever. The stars, the sun, and the moon were given for lights in the heavens to determine days and seasons. Well, the seasons, we know summer, winter, fall, spring, that type of thing. They're real seasons. What must a day then be? Billions of years. That makes no sense whatsoever. The survival of creation. I have to go to my resident farmer back here. You raise crops. What do crops need to survive? Okay. But they need sun, they need water. Do they need like fruit trees? Do they need to be pollinated? If they're not pollinated, what happens to them? Huh? They don't produce. And then what happens to them? They die. The trees were created on day three. The insects, later on, day four. If day three is a long extended period of time where there are no bees to pollinate the trees, what happens? There would be no trees by day four. Yeah, that's true. It wouldn't have been around. If a tree goes for a day without being pollinated, will it survive? Won't hurt a thing. Life would have ended if the days in Genesis chapter 1 were anything more than a 24-hour day. Finally, this one, regulation of the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. For in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth and rested on the seventh day. Likewise, man is supposed to do the same. So if the days of creation were anything other than a 24-hour period, then man should be working for approximately 6 billion years and then take a billion off. Makes no sense whatsoever. The 24 of the days of Genesis chapter 1 are nothing other than 24-hour days. They are not long geologic periods. Final question. Doesn't make any difference. Well, Pat said so, so I guess we're done. What difference does it make? You are absolutely right. Let me give you some things about how significant this doctrine is. Number one, the veracity or the truthfulness and authority of Scripture is rendered void if God did not create. Why? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's what He told us. And I made a point. He told us that from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And if that's not true, then you have to start cutting out those passages of Scripture because they're not true. And then you start going back to passages of Scripture such as 2 Timothy 3:16, which says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And consequently, if it's not truthful, it's not profitable for doctrine. And therefore, any other doctrine that's found in Scripture is not to be believed because there's no proof that it's good. Oh, you're ahead of me. The deity of Christ is rendered void with the consequence of voiding His provision of salvation. Jesus said that God created the heavens and the earth. That's what we looked at in the book of Mark. If Jesus said that God created and God didn't create, then Jesus was a liar. And if Jesus is a liar, He could not be God. And if Jesus is not God, then He could not be a Savior, for it took a sinless, infinite, eternal being to bear our sins, pay sin's debt. And Jesus wasn't it if creation didn't happen. Consequently, there's no salvation for you and I, at least by faith in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, consequence of the sinfulness of man is rendered void. Why is it that we are struggling the way we are struggling in the world in which we live today? Scripture tells us, because sin entered into the world. Man that God created, sin. Well, if there's no creation, then man isn't responsible for sin. Yeah, that's exactly it. We then have to define the problems of the world not in theological terms, but humanistic terms. That's significant. Consequently, man is left to himself with no promise of help from God. Do you realize Scripture says, in the beginning, God worked. And God created and fashioned man in His own image. God made us the way He wanted us to be. oh, we messed it up. But he was there when sin entered into the world to redeem us. Well, if there's no sin, then there's no redemption. And you can't count on God to help us for anything. Man, what in the world are we doing here? But there are some consequences of believing creationism that are really, really good. Number one, it strengthens our faith in the power of God. Patrick, create something. Just speak and have it come into existence. You're not very creative, are you? Carolyn, create something. Just speak and cause it to come into existence. Can't do it. Anyone here be able to do that? Doesn't work, does it? Did for God. Things that are impossible for you and I to do, God can. You ever run into difficulties in life? Probably not. You've never had any difficulties in life. Everything's gone perfect for every one of us, right? Ever gotten into situations where you say, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I can handle this. God does. He can handle it. The God who spoke and brought the world into existence, your problems are a piece of cake for Him. Secondly, strengthens my faith in the perfection of God. On the sixth day, when God looked at all He created, what did He say? Not bad. Oh well. There's a difference between saying, that is well done. Well, that's done. God did not say, well, that's done. He said, that's well done. What God does perfectly. And when He works in our lives, He brings about perfection. Oh, by the way, in the process of Him working on you, we could sing that little chorus tonight, He's still working on me. When's He going to stop? He that hath begun a good work in you will do it until Thursday, till the day of Jesus Christ. John tells us that when we see Him, we'll see Him as He is. Why? Because we will be like Him. He's going to keep working until He brings out perfection in us. No, that won't be until we're with Him in glory. But He's still working. Thirdly, strengthen faith in the passion of God. God loves you. You want to know how much? He could have easily wiped you out, started all over again, but He didn't. He loves you. It would have been a piece of cake for you. In fact, that's what He said to Moses. I've had it up to here with these folks. Moses said, well, Lord, you know, what the rest of the nation is going to say. Now, Lord knew what He was going to do. He wanted to bring this out in Moses and cause Moses to realize. But God persevered. One of the attributes of God that just boggles my imagination is that He is long-suffering. And I emphasize the word long because He's long-suffering. He's not long-suffering. He's long-suffering. Why? Because He loves us. Could wipe us out and recreate us, but He loves us that much. Creation, an important doctrine? Oh yeah, you better believe it. And that's exactly it. You better believe it. Let's pray. Father, while the world debates the issue, You call us to believe the issue. While we can't explain how something came into existence out of nothing, You have declared that You did that. That's why we are here today. Lord, we just trust you. I believe there are evidences that can only be explained by the fact that you created this world. But yet the fact of the matter is, Hebrews 11 tells us that by faith we understand that these worlds in which we live came into being by your command. Lord, I pray that we would grab a hold of the truth of this doctrine, apply it to our lives, maybe even use it to share with others who would go for the scientific route, that the Bible is truly the Word of God. We're here by design. We're here for a purpose. We're here because there is a God who loves us and didn't wipe us out. A God who provided a salvation for us. A God who is willing and wanting to recreate us, that we might be able to use that then to win others to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior also. Lord, encourage our faith, strengthen our faith today from these studies. We'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Good week.